T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the second hour of Amplify. Here by myself. No, I'm not really. Greg's here, the producer. So I am not alone. He takes good care of me. Say a prayer for him. Say a prayer for the sick guest who was unable to make it tonight, who I'm sure will be with us sometime, probably in January, to talk about angels. But I want to read this story of from Faith and Imagination, Stories of Jesus, the Gospel of Faith and Imagination, just as a kind of bridge from what we were talking about to what we're going to talk about during this hour. And it's titled, Love Remains in the Heart. A group of men who were tired, worn, and hungry gathered to listen to Jesus. A sense of peace seemed to cover them as they huddled near a small fire and spoke quietly to one another. Jesus said to them, I can feel the peace within you. And so it is a good night to talk about whatever is in your hearts and minds. The men agreed with him. As they shared the bread they had, they began to speak about their childhood years. A young man by the name of Joseph said, I have followed you now through 3 cities. You have talked about many things, but never about your parents. Jesus nodded and agreed with him. The young man asked, Did your mother ever tell you anything about your birth? I know. My mother told me about my birth. And I mentioned one time on the program that when I was what they called a forcep baby, when I wasn't coming out, when you're coming out the wrong way, they have to like pull you out. And one of my uncles, my mother had not seen me yet because I was going through this procedure. And my uncle went in and told her that I looked like I was blind because my eyes were so black and blue. Wasn't the case at all. But the young man asked, Did your mother ever tell you anything about your birth? Jesus looked strangely at him and asked, Why do you ask such a question? The young man replied, I was found at the city gates and was kept. My mother was a good woman. She was a beggar who had children of her own, and she took me in and cared for me the same way that she did her own children. I was accepted and loved by her. Jesus sighed and said, She was a good woman, as my mother is. My mother has never said much to me about my birth, except that there was great joy in her heart, along with the sadness. My father would never say anything when he talked about my birth. He would only turn away. But when he was dying, he said to me, my son, I am old and tired, and soon I must leave. But I want you to remember that your mother, the woman who gave you birth, is very special. She has been a good, kind, and just mother to you. She has taught you well. Then he looked down at his hands and said, I have worked many years with you. My father was a carpenter, and I followed in his footsteps. But you, my son, have greater things to do. A mission beyond words. Then he gasped and took his last breath. After a brief pause, Jesus continued, My mother began to weep. We held one another, knowing his time had come. My mother looked at me with tears in her eyes and said, Son, you were a beautiful gift given to us, but I know you will leave me in time. When you do, remember that you were loved, and you will always be loved. People may hurt you with words that will sting, but remember that you are special, special in the eyes of the Heavenly Father. You are His Son, and we are only instruments of His love to guide you. The man who now lies in deep sleep loved you like no other human father could love you. Then she gently wiped the tears from her eyes and spread them on my cheek. I shall never forget her gentleness and the warmth of her tears. Then Jesus looked down at the fire, began to stoke it, and said, Her love is like this fire. In time it will go out, and she will join my Father. But her love will always remain warm and strong within my heart. That is a story of faith and imagination. What about you? Is there anyone's love that is remaining warm and strong within your heart? Have you loved someone so much that you have warmed their heart or strengthened their heart? And then, what about God? Have you been able to pray in such a way that you knew you were speaking to God and God knew what you were saying when prayerfully you told Him how much you loved Him, which He knows, of course. But I had said that I wanted to talk about the three wise men. And I hope to be able to do a program before the Christmas season ends, also in January, because January 6th is the Feast of Epiphany, when the three wise men come to visit Jesus. And I don't know why my focus is on the three wise men this year. Other years, it's been other people. I don't know that I ever before was always on Jesus or Joseph or the angels or on the kings or on, I'm thinking about the creche right now in downtown Pittsburgh, which I'm a part of. A woman and child I thought about for a while, 1 year also. My sister and I, when my mother died, bought that figure to show that there were all kinds of people present at Jesus's at his birth. And so why the three wise men? So it has come in such a way that I decided that I would, in the creche, I would move the three wise men a little closer to the child Jesus this year. So you'll see that change. And it's true. It happened that they were there and very close to him. And also, I did the same thing then in the front window of my home. I left the shepherds out because not everything can fit with the cows and camels and everything else. And I just put the three kings, the magi, in the window. And my focus has been on them. Let me just read the account from Matthew's gospel that tells us a little bit about who they were. And we don't usually pay much attention to them, I don't think. At least maybe I'm thinking from my own experience. This is from the Matthew Gospels, his second chapter. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. From you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." When they had heard the king, they went their way. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasuries, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So that's the story of the three wise men. Wonder what their story is. There are books, of course, where people speculate, and that's one of the books I hope to receive and be able to interview that author before the Christmas season ends. And so what I'd like to do is just reflect a little bit on that particular feast of Epiphany, whenever the Magi reveal to us the desire for God that's in the heart of every human being. And so the word Epiphany means a great discovery. Sometimes we think we know someone, and then we discover something about that person that becomes a great discovery to us, changes everything, changes the relationship. I suggest to you that maybe that can happen to you this Christmas, in how you look at Jesus and apply him, give him the place that he has taken in your life, or the place you've given to him. And the term Epiphany originally referred to a visit of a king to his people. And it's interesting that in order to assure good attendance at his visit, his courtiers would throw coins to people along the way, and a great banquet would be provided by the king. We sometimes do that to bring in audiences also. In this case, it's the discovery of a gift given to us by God, and the gift is God's Son, Jesus, can you still look at Christ's birth in that way, that the gift is from God and the gift is his son? And it was at that time that people believed you could tell your future from the stars. Some people still believe that. It's much more scientific today than it ever was. And so if a bright new star was seen in the sky, they believed that it was God's way of announcing something special. We're finding things in the sky with the new telescope that we've never seen before, clusters of stars and all, and wonder what the story is behind them. That's what scientists are attempting to discover now. And the birth of great people was believed to be marked by unusual signs in the heavens. And why? Because they had not yet received God's full revelation, and so they tried to know God through his creation, such as the stars, which might make us wonder, is there anything more that we can learn about creation from the stars? And following from that, is there anything else than from creation that we can know about God? And so, as the shepherds were among the first Jews to whom the news of the birth of the Son of God had been given, the Magi were the first among the Gentiles, and the Magi were seekers of truth. We all should be seekers of truth, especially the truth of God, especially the truths that God has revealed to us. But many people today, unfortunately, are no longer interested in the wisdom passed on from God throughout the ages. Science, they think, reveals all that they need to know. That science tells them more than God can tell them. And so they want only the latest data or information, and as quickly as they can obtain it, accepting that what they want to believe and denying what they don't want to believe. So easy to do that today. Whatever you want to believe, you can say is true. But the future of the human race depends on whether or not we achieve a greater degree of wisdom before we destroy ourselves in any number of ways, as we are learning more and more these days. More and more we're learning that the human race depends on whether or not we achieve a greater degree of wisdom before we destroy ourselves. And so the Magi reveal to us, as I mentioned before, that the desire for God is in every human being, but a desire that we can ignore. We can ignore the people that love us. And we, like them, therefore must be open to God's signs in our lives and what they are teaching and where they are leading us. And so, like the Magi, we are called to share the gifts given to us by God with others. And when we do that, we will never be the same again. Can you think of some special gift that has been given to you? My best friend gave me something, a gift that was very special to me. My mother gave me a special gift also. Things that mean so much to me. What is it that God has given to you that is special to you? Or what is it that God wants to give to you now? And so the Magi thought that they were searching for God, but they discovered that God was leading them to him. And Are we searching for God, or is God leading us to him? And so in that same spirit, God is waiting for us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
To come to him now. To find a way through this period of time. This Advent season. To find our way to come closer to God. And so you can never place yourself in the presence of Jesus and come away empty. And so it's believed that the three wise men were followers of an ancient Persian teacher, at least that's one of the beliefs that people have, who taught them the prophecies that foretold the birth of God's Son on earth. And so it is said that Balthazar, Caspar and Melchior were believed to be learned in mathematics, astronomy, and medicine, and then that they were the masters of the wisdom that people had at that time. And they were called kings because each one had a special power. If you had to think about yours, what is your special power? What is it that you can do to foster good? In Melchior's presence, it was said that people came wiser through Balthazar's great compassion. People's sorrows were lightened, and Caspar is said to have had the power to heal. And so what we're really saying is that the Magi today still challenge us to live with hope. Welcome back to the final segment of Amplify. Guest was ill, didn't come, decided I would spend the time then speaking about the Advent season, and then also my particular attraction this year for some reason to the three wise men. And I ended the last segment by pointing out that the Magi challenge us to live with hope in the midst of evil. After I read the passage from Matthew's gospel, I'm thinking, maybe that's why I am really attracted to them, because we live in a world today that in many ways is evil, and evil seems to be growing and spreading, at least from my view. But that isn't to say that there isn't hope, because they're challenging us to live with hope. And it's evil that we cannot explain. They couldn't explain it at first, and maybe we can't really explain it either, but we can, we know, turn to God for help, as Jesus called out to his Father, and know with firm conviction that God will help us and give us hope so that we share with those in need whatever we have to offer. What do you have to offer to people that is good? So it's impossible for us to go on living as though nothing happened that should concern us. That's some of the ways we deal with evil, as if though it doesn't exist. If it seems that it's not going to bother me, then why should I be concerned about it? And at the same time, we need to know that hope is not the same as wishful thinking rooted in dreams, and not just any dream, but also in vain dreams. And so I believe, and many of you will believe, of course, listening to this program, that hope is found in our Christian faith. And that's the story of Jesus. The Christian faith. And so hope is not a vague attempt to assure ourselves that everything will turn out all right by itself, but rather hope is a virtue that is found in the willingness of people to help one another in times of need. And I can't begin to tell you how many appeals have come to me in the mail. It's probably true of most of you, that people looking to help various groups of people, various organizations, and it's something you want to do, and you pick out the ones that you think are best. And so the power of hope really comes from God's love for us. And it sustains us when we're discouraged or when we struggle with despair. There are people who do struggle with despair. And it's manifested in different ways each and every day in the recognition of God's presence within each of us from what we've learned about our own pain and suffering. When people helped us, then when we really want to help them. So we must believe that the Lord loves us, embraces us, never abandons us in the midst of the full force of evil. What a lesson that is that we need to learn, that the Lord loves us, embraces us, and never abandons us in the midst of the full force of evil. And isn't that what then gives us hope? And so we must listen to God speaking to us through our heart when life seems senseless, when all of our other senses, our ears, and our sight are telling us we have no hope, because we hear what we hear and we see what we see. We need to open our heart to God at that point. And so, may I suggest then, one of the things we may want to do is pray the Lord's Prayer more often these days, because hope is expressed and nourished in prayer, especially the Our Father that summarizes all that we hope for and enables us to love those in need as God has loved us. And it is love that moves us to prayer. True love, as Christians. And the Curé of Ars, who is a Catholic saint, expressed it this way. He was He was a priest who gave his whole life to his ministry. I love you, my God, and my only desire is to love you until the last breath of my life. I love you, and I would rather die loving you than live without loving you. I love you, Lord, and I ask to love you eternally. My God, if my tongue cannot say in every moment that I love you, I want my heart to repeat it to you as often as I draw breath. Think about that. Every time your heart beats, he wants the Lord to know that it is a prayer saying that he loves him. And we know the heart is a symbol of that in so many ways. And so, what desires are within your heart at this very moment? We would have to admit that they can be either beneficial or they can be harmful. Desires can bring good to you or they can harm you. And one desire within every human heart is to be one with God. Can you say that about yourself at all? To any degree, do you believe that you are one with God? Certainly in times of prayer, certainly when you're feeling love for someone, but in what other ways? And so, like the Magi, we should become more aware of the signs of God wanting us to draw us closer to him. We know over a period of time we can draw so very close to some people, and that is the same of our relationship with God. We can draw even closer than we are now. And that in the end is what really motivated the Magi. They were searching for wisdom. I mean, all of them were educated in their time. Each of them in their own way appears to have been brilliant. But they were searching for wisdom. And the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit who speaks to us is through the heart and the mind. And so the fear is we may be losing that gift because information retrieval is almost without limit today. There's just so much that is presented to us. Someone was trying to call me today and was an important call, and I didn't get it because I didn't have my phone with me, and I was out of the house. And so as a result, we are losing or perhaps have even lost our ability to make the spiritual journey into the depths of our being where God is a part of our life and engage in heart-to-heart communication. Can you say that you have heart-to-heart communication with God, even in a moment? And so even in Jesus's time, people believed you could tell your future by reading the stars, especially the star under which you had been born. Some people still believe that that is possible. For example, if ancient astrologers observed a brilliant new star, it meant God was entering the world, as we said previously, to reveal something special. They didn't have the benefit of God's sharing his wisdom with us as occurs when the word of God is proclaimed to us so often. Whenever we're in church, the word of God is proclaimed to us. So the Magi recognized the hidden presence of God in a new star. And in the same way, our greatest loves are filled with mystery, aren't they? Sometimes it's very difficult to understand the fullness of love that someone has for us, or the fullness of love that we have for someone else. But it's true, and we know that our greatest loves are filled with mystery, because neither the heart nor the mind can fully understand love, why someone loves us or why we love them. And that is also true of the love between God and us. If you were asked to write a paragraph, or maybe only a few sentences, about the love that exists between you and God, what would you write? What would you write? There are some people that would present no problem for us to do that. Maybe our parents, or brother, or sister, husband, wife. What about God? Have you ever had to find the best words to express your love for someone? Because those words don't always come easy. And so we shouldn't be surprised that those words don't always become easy when we want to express them for God. And so perhaps we can repeat these words of St. John Vianney once again to help us. I love you, my God, and my only desire is to love you until the last breath of my life. I love you, and I would rather die loving you than live without loving you. I love you, Lord, and I want to love you eternally. My God, if my tongue cannot say in every moment that I love you, I want my heart to repeat it as often as I draw breath. And so often our words of love are the words of prayers, aren't they? Sometimes the prayers that we've memorized can do that. And sometimes we pray a long time without feeling anything, without feeling satisfied. But other times, just a short word or a few words can express what we want to say, what we want to do. But the important thing is that we enter into prayer, that we've been told so often about the importance of prayer. And this is a season. Advent is a season of prayer. It is a time for us to draw closer to God by reflecting on those things that God has done for us, and by reflecting on what it is that we can do for God. And so this story of faith and imagination that deals with prayer. The disciples sat in silence, for it had been a long, tired, and unsuccessful day. Jesus sat patiently. There were probably many times when we had to be that way, and we're much like the disciples. There are times when we sit in silence because the day's been long and tired, and we believe unsuccessful. We don't know just what to say or what to do about it. And sometimes we're very troubled by that. No one had any questions to ask, no complaints to make, and there was no idle talk. Sometimes that's when we don't know what to say, that's what we do. The night sky began to lighten as the sun rose slowly. Still the disciples had nothing to say. Each was lost in his own thoughts and in his own world. I think each and every one of us are in that world at times. We're lost in our own thoughts. We don't know what to believe. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. But as the sun rose higher in the sky, Jesus stood up and said to his disciples, "You have been silent all night. No one has spoken a word." I typically think of the group of apostles, the disciples, as people who had a lot to say, certainly as they themselves attempted to tell others about what Jesus had taught them. It was John who said, "Master, have you forgotten that you asked us a fortnight ago, as we sat by the fire, to spend one night with you in prayer and silence? And so we talked among ourselves and decided last night was the time to do this." And so even Jesus didn't understand everything, didn't understand that indeed his disciples were only doing what it is he had asked them to do. He wanted them to be alone with their own thoughts. He really wanted them to be alone with God. And it was his way of really attempting to move them to prayer. "And," Jesus said, "and," John responded, "I've never felt so fulfilled." It was strange. I can't say for sure that I was praying, but I emptied my heart. So wasn't John really learning what prayer was all about? It's a matter of emptying your heart. Then John cast his eyes to the ground and said, "And Master, I even question why I decided to follow you. I did not receive an answer, but I was filled with comfort, for I know that I could not live with myself if I did not accept you." All of us wonder about our position in life at times, why we have done or why we've said what we did. And Peter then also joined in the conversation, and he said, "I felt the same way, Master. When I first heard you, I turned my back, shook my head, and said, 'You are crazy, or you have been in the sun too long.' But I could not get your words out of my mind. When you extended your hand to me, I know I had to follow you." And each disciple had a similar story to tell. Sometimes we're surprised at our faith, not believing how strong and powerful it is. And sometimes we discover God's love for us in a way that we didn't couldn't even imagine why. And Jesus said, "I will gather the wood." And the disciples just sat there and made no effort to help him as he gathered enough to build a small fire. When Jesus started the fire, the twigs did not burn brightly because of the light of the morning sun. And Jesus said, "You will not understand how important a night in prayer is until you have grown and seen the light." The men looked at one another, not knowing what he meant. Jesus said, "A fire does not burn brightly in the daylight, but what comfort it gives in the night. When a man, woman, or child feels alone or abandoned or is in pain, to light the heart with prayer will give comfort to body and mind." Don't forget then how precious life is and how powerful love is. Tell someone now that you love him or her. Pray for peace as if it depended on you alone, and come back next Sunday and amplify with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.